श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रमाई की, श्री श्री गौरनिथाय की, श्रील प्रभुपाद की, श्री उडुपी कृष्ण भगवान की, श्री अनंतेश्वर भगवान की, श्री चंद्रमौलेश्वर भगवान की, श्री मध्वाचार्य जी की, श्री परशुराम जी महाराज की, श्री वराहदेव की, निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे, हरि हरि बोल। सो वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू टू उडुपी धाम, द मोस्ट ब्यूटिफुल धाम इन साउथ इंडिया। सो बिफोर वी बिगिन टू स्पीक वी विल ऑफर सम प्रेयर्स। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपक कदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे। सो ऑन दिस 20th of June 2014 वी वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू टू उडुपी यात्रा, वन ऑफ द ब्यूटिफुल प्लेसेस इन साउथ इंडिया। इन द मिडल ऑफ ऑल दिस ग्रीनरी coconut trees, fruit trees, flower trees, in the company of Tulsi Devi, in the company of mother cow, baby cows, with Parijata tree here. Such a beautiful atmosphere. Because this land is a blessed land. And the way it is, we can go on describing further and further. But the way it is because it is blessed by Parshuram, Lord Parshuram. And the whole belt of land, right from Gokarna to Kanyakumari, it is called as Parshuram Kshetra. Gokarna is a place where Lord Ganesh established an Atmalinga of his father, that is Lord Shiva. And that is where Ravana had come and tried to create some disturbance. But Lord Ganesh had defeated him and was successful in establishing the Shivalinga, Atmalinga. And that is called as Gokarneshwara. That is where the whole Kshetra begins. What is called as a South Canara district. There's two districts, South Canara and North Canara. So North Canara begins from there. Then half the way after Karwar it ends and South Canara starts. And it goes till Mangalore and beyond Mangalore called Kasargod. And from there Kerala starts, from there Kanyakumari. So this whole belt of land is called as Parshuram Kshetra. Now the story goes like this. Very interesting story. There was one person called Ruchira Muni. A very ancient Muni. And Muni is the personality who has... He's like a spiritual PhD. What is a PhD? You have to come up with some new thesis and some new research material. So Muni is one who presents his own some additional philosophy. Then he gets title of Muni. So Ruchira Muni gets married with Satyavati. And they give birth to Jamadagni, the famous Jamadagni Rishi, who was very famous for his powers and also for his anger. So Jamadagni married Renuka, who's daughter of Renu, King Renu, daughter called Renuka. And Jamadagni married Renuka and both of them gave birth to Lord Parshuram. Lord Parshuram is the sixth incarnation of the Lord. And he is Shaktyavesha incarnation. Shaktyavesha means he is empowered for a particular mission. Like when Jesus Christ is entitled as the Shaktyavesha avatar of the Lord. Empowered to fulfill a particular mission. So he comes as the sixth incarnation of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu is the Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu of this universe, who is the expansion of Mahavishnu, who is the in charge of all the Brahmandas. And Mahavishnu is the expansion of Lord Narayan, who is not in the material world, he is in the spiritual world. And Lord Narayan is the expansion of Sankarsana. And Sankarsana is part of Chaturvyuha. Shankarsana, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, Vasudev. And that is this 4-hour incarnation of Balramji. And Balramji's incarnation of Sri Krishna. So now we went from down up, now we'll go from up and down again. So Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He expands into Balram, to Leela Avatar, first avatar. Then Balramji expands into four, Chatur Vyuha. Sankarsan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha and Vasudeva. These four came as Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna. Then this Sankarsana expands into Sankarsana number 2, who has another detailed functions. Then he expands into Lord Narayan. And Lord Narayan, up to this personality, all the personalities are in the spiritual world, looking after the affairs of spiritual world. But this Lord Narayan expands into Mahavishnu, who is one personality, who is in charge of all the material creation. Material creation means where birth and death take place. Spiritual creation means no birth and death take place there. So Mahavishnu is lying in the causal ocean and he breathes out, exhales. And from his exhalation, all the Brahmandas are erupting from his body pores in the seed form. And they grow and form Brahmandas or the universes. And in each universe, he expands into as Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu. So there is one Mahavishnu, but unlimited Garbhodaka Shai Vishnus, because there are unlimited Brahmandas or universes. So he is that personality called Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, from whose navel the lotus flower erupts, and on whom, on which Brahma appears. So how many Brahmas are there? Unlimited Brahmas, because each one Brahma is in one of the universes. And depending on the magnanimity and the size and the dimensions of the particular universe, the Brahma may have four heads, or may have eight heads, may have 100 heads, may have 1,000 heads, may have lakhs of heads, may have millions of heads also, depending on the dimensions of that particular advanced universe. So in our universe, the Brahma has got four heads, because this universe has four main directions. 10 other directions are there, total 10 are there, but main are four, east, west, north and south. So Brahmaji has four heads governing the four directions. So this Garbhodak Shai Vishnu takes 10 incarnations. So he is not the ultimate. He has a boss, then he has a boss, and finally Lord Krishna comes. So maybe he is a 6th degree Vishnu. And as for the deliverance of this particular universe, this Garbhodak Shai Vishnu takes incarnations, beginning from Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narsimha, Vamana, Parashuram, then Ram, Ram, then Parashuram. Is that right? Parashuram is first. Parashuram is first, then Lord Ram, then Balramji, then Buddha, then Kalki. So Sri Krishna doesn't come as one of the incarnation of Vishnu. Sri Krishna is avatari, he is not avatar. He is the source of all avatars. So whenever people say that Krishna comes as 8th avatar of Vishnu, that is not correct. Balram is the one of the incarnations of Vishnu. Balram also is a very independent personality, but he chooses to come as the incarnation of Vishnu. And then comes Buddha, and then comes last is Kalki. So Parshuram is 6th incarnation of this Garbhodak Shai Vishnu. And when he was living as a hermit in his father's hut in a forest, one day King Kartavirya Arjun came. This Kartavirya Arjuna was so powerful that he had acquired 1,000 arms by worshipping Lord Shiva. He had done tremendous tapasya. He had all kinds of strength, all kinds of mystic powers, all kinds of knowledges he had. And he was very beautiful, handsome, very chivalrous. He had all weapons and astras. And what happens when we get any of the opulence? The first thing that we get proud. Anything we get, you know, we have got 5 degrees, we get proud. We have a house and we have a bungalow and we have a car, then we have pride. So he became very proud. And one day he was traveling and he came across in the forest the hermit of Jamadagni Rishi. He came there with lakhs of soldiers. And he told, ki, we are hungry, we want to have food. Now suppose somebody comes to your house in the jungle with lakhs of people and you expect them to feed. It's impossible. But to their utter surprise, Jamadagni created an extraordinary feast within few seconds, as soon as he arrived. Before even they took bath, the feast containing hundreds of items was ready. And they were fed sumptuously to the brim that they couldn't eat anymore. And such items made of pure ghee and pure material, so tasty and delicious, were cooked. So Kartavirya Arjuna, instead of feeling very grateful and instead of feeling very happy and very, you know, awestruck or wonderstruck, he became envious. He thought, how can a mendicant in the jungle have such wealth that in few seconds he fed us such a sumptuous feast? So he found out that the secret of all this success and the quick service of unlimited food was a Kamadhenu cow. The Kamadhenu cow means the cow, which is celestial cow, which supplies unlimited things, not only food, whatever you need at will. That's called Kam. At your will, she will provide you whatever you need. You want a house, you want wood, or you want some gold or jewelry or diamond, whatever you need, she will provide. Including soldiers for fighting war, including food, you want ghee, you want milk, you want yajna material, whatever you want. And she had a daughter also called Nandini, and both of them were very divine cows. So Kartavirya Arjuna, instead of being grateful to a sage and humble and know, saying thank you and offering dandavat pranam, as a king should do to a Brahmin. He was envious and he said, I want that cow. Because I am the king and I own everything, everything is my property. So the cow is also my property. The land on which you stay is also my property. So everything that belongs to you also is my property. So I want this cow for myself. Because he felt that what the hermit has, I don't have. Something which is very precious, which the sage has, I don't have. So I must have it. So sage said that, you know, I use the cow, you know, for ghee and for my yagya material, for whatever devotional service, and I need the cow. So the king became very arrogant and he stole the cow and he took away. Went away. So Jamadagni felt Lord's desire. If Lord wanted me to have the cow, then he would have kept the cow. If Lord doesn't want me to have the cow, then he has arranged it to be taken away from me. So it was very peaceful. Very soon Parshuramji came from jungle. He had gone to cut wood. He came and heard the full story that the king came and forcefully dragged the cow. And it was noticed that the cow was in pain. The cow was very satisfied and happy being with Jamadagni in the forest, serving the sage in his devotional service. She was very much pain and she was dragged with Nandini also. So both of them were crying and the king forcibly dragged them. So Parshuram became very angry. And Parshuram took up his axe, Parshu, and went to the kingdom of Kartavirya Arjun. And they had a fierce battle. Such a fierce battle that millions of demigods gathered in the sky to watch that battle. Very fierce battle. And in the end, Parshuramji beheaded Kartavirya Arjuna and brought Nandini and Kamadhenu back to the hermit, back to Jamadagni. And when the fight was going on, looking at the prowess and the effulgence and the abha and the tej and chivalry of Parshuram, the 1,000 sons of Kartavirya Arjuna fled away. They ran away. They just couldn't stand the battle. The way Parshuramji was fighting. So Parshuramji brought baby cow and mother cow and presented it to Jamadagni. So Jamadagni was very angry actually. He said, you are a Brahmin's son. You're supposed to be a sage's son. You cannot just become angry like this. You should be happy with the plan and the desire of the Lord. You cannot be angry with what Lord is planning for you. But you revolted. So anyways, never do it again. So then the cow came back, baby came back. After some time, again when Parshuram was in the forest, the 1,000 sons of Kartavirya Arjuna who were angry came back and they beheaded Jamadagni's head, who was sitting in yagya. He was sitting in yagya in deep meditation. He was completely in transcendental position. He was deeply meditating on the Lord. So in that situation, the 1,000 sons came, chopped his head off and went away. Now this time, Parshuramji was extremely angry. He said, the Kshatriya class of men are supposed to respect the Brahmanas and protect them and give them whatever they need and make them happy and peaceful and assist them in performing their bhakti. And by their blessings, the Kshatriyas should run their kingdom. But here this man is already, who was killed already, was an atrocious man. And their sons also continued the whatever legacy he had left behind. So I must cure the earth of these unscrupulous, unreligious, atrocious rulers. So this time he took his Parshu, again went back to Kartavirya Arjuna's kingdom and killed all 1,000 sons. But he did not remain there. He went around the world 21 times. Because he understood that being the incarnation of the Lord, especially empowered, he understood that majority of the kings are like this today. They don't have that natural respect for sadhus, which they must have as kings, as the maintainers of kingdoms. So they should be corrected. And earth should be cleansed of all these unscrupulous kings, irreligious kings. So he went around 21 times, killing all the Kshatriyas, battling with them, challenging them. And some of them would accept challenge and fight with him and get killed. But he had given some concessions, three concessions he had given. Those kings who were sitting in Yajna, he would not kill them. Those kings who are getting married, the ceremony is going on, he will not kill them. And those kings which are surrounded by women, like covered by women, he will not kill them. So those who were scared of him, they would just immediately call sadhus and start a fire sacrifice. Or some of them will immediately get another girl and start getting married and, you know, be busy in the marriage ceremony. And some of them would cover them with ladies. They were called Narikavacha. Narikavacha means they would be covered with ladies. He would sit in the middle of the ladies, and ladies will have 1, 2, 3, 4 many circles around him, and he would be protected. So the Parashuram will not kill him. So some kings were protected like that. They were not killed. Those who were doing fire sacrifice, those who were getting married or covered with ladies. But rest all were killed.
In one Prabhupada's lecture, in that lecture he mentioned those who, most of the Kshatriyas ran away from this, they crossed the land of India. And there are now Germans and all those, they ran away from this thing. They are all Kshatriyas. He mentioned in one lecture.
Yeah. Those who were all of them actually, who ran away, who couldn't follow the religious principles of Bharatavarsha, they went to this Western world. And those who couldn't follow and those who ran away, they all settled down in the far places. See, it's like, suppose Parashuram is battling in one country. So other countries are free, no? So they are running away from that place. So when he'll go to that country, then he'll come and settle in this country. So it's like that. They were just running around. But still he managed to kill maximum of them in 21 times. And actually he won the kingdom of whole earth. Whole earth he won. Because he defeated all kings. Either they were his friends, they surrendered to him, or he killed them, or whatever. He became the owner of the whole world. Although he was the incarnation of Lord himself, he thought, I have come on earth, so I should settle a good example. Set a good example. So what he did fire sacrifices, yajna, and donated all the lands to Brahmins. So all the earth he donated. And now he needed place to stay for himself, but he didn't want to stay on donated land. So he came to Gokarna, where we described our in the beginning. In Gokarneshwara place he came. And he requested Varuna, the king of ocean, to give land. And the ocean initially refused, which even Lord Ram had requested him to give way to Lanka through ocean. He didn't respond for 3 days. Then when Lord Ram raised his bow and arrow, immediately came, trahi maam, like that. So now also, he refused. So he raised his Parshu and threw from Gokarna, through from Gokarna till Kanyakumari. And he claimed about 1,000 kilometers long land, which was about 150 kilometers wide. And that is what is called Parashuram Kshetra. From Gokarneshwara to Manjeshwara. Sorry, to the Kanyakumari, I'm sorry. To Kanyakumari. That piece of land, again, on that one mountain he sat for meditation. And that land also, he called 10 Brahmins, those who are our Rishi Gotra, Gotra Rishis. Like my Gotra is Bharadwaja, somebody is Shandilya, somebody is Kamsa, somebody is Kaundinya, somebody is Kashyapa. There are many Gotradhari Rishis. So 10 of them who were Gaud Saraswat Brahmins, he called them. And he donated that land also to them only. And he said, I bless you that this land will be always flourishing with wealth, rains, rivers, crops, fruits, vegetables, grains, pearls, gems, whatever you need to live a very opulent life, everything will be available in this place. This place will never suffer in drought. This place will always be filled with natural gifts. You can see, when you come in the middle of summer, it will appear like it is rainy season. It's always green. When you get down from flight to Calicut or to Cochin or to Trivandrum or to Mangalore or to down further south, you will find trillions of coconut trees. Mountains are filled with greenery and trees and banana and rice paddies And you never hear that in this area there was any drought or there was no water. You just drove from Mangalore airport yesterday. Mangalore airport to Udupi, there are four rivers in between. And they are like ocean only. So huge rivers. One of them is Shambhavi River, the first river which comes across. And if you count from Kokan, you will get 19 to 23 rivers. One time I counted because I went to Shornur in Trivandrum. And I didn't go beyond that, by the way. Beyond that, there are further rivers. And each river is like an ocean with trillions of trees and coconuts and everywhere. And we have in north, you see, all the rivers are becoming narrow and narrow and narrow and narrow. And this is hardly 20 days of rain and the rivers are like flooded like anything. So this is the boon of Parshuramji. And he said that you will have abundance of whatever you need. And you will be able to perform your worship to Lord in a very peaceful and happy manner. There will be no dearth of anything here. You be happy here, worship the Lord. And in case you have any difficulty, I'll give a mantra to you. And you come together, all of you, 10. Sit together and chant the mantra in union. Then I will appear. And whatever difficulty you have, instantly I will solve it. That kind of boon he gave. And he went away. And all the rishis, very happily they stayed there. They had their, vanchajas. The next generations. And very happy, long time went by. They were very happy with abundance of fruits and vegetables and grains and whatever they needed, cows. But suddenly one day, they thought, what about the mantra? Is there any power in it? We have not tried it. But they had been told that if you have difficulty, then you call. But although they were sages, they were still very curious. Kutuhal. They thought, let us try and see what happens. Like Kunti also was very curious, She had five mantras and she was told that you chant a mantra and think of one demigod. The demigod will come, appear to you and give a son to you. As a baby, she was very curious. So she chanted one mantra and she called Sun God. And to her surprise, instantly Sun God came, Vivaswan. And she said, please don't do that. I am a innocent girl, I'm a virgin. He said, your virginity will not be disturbed. You will get a son through your ears and you will remain virgin. And instantly, there was no pregnancy of 9 months or 10 months or whatever. Instantly, baby boy came from her ears and her hands, immediately, straight, ready-made. Like today is a world of ready-made things, No need to buy cloth and wait for tailor to stitch. No trials and nothing. Ready-made, straightforward. So like that, they came together and chanted the mantra as per told by Parshuram. And soon Parshuram appeared. And they were very surprised. And they were very shocked also. And they were very scared also. But now they knew that they will ask, what's the problem? And sure enough, he asked, what's the problem? So they all put their eyes down. They were in shame. They said, my dear Lord, there was no problem. So he said, why do you then chant the mantra? I had told you not to chant except you have difficulties and chant only when you have difficulty. You doubted my words and the truth of my words. So I curse you that you will lose your unity and sanctity. Now if this curse is given to you and me, this is fine, it's all right. I don't mind not living with people. I'll live alone. Today's world is like that only. Nuclear living. You all want to go away from people and stay our own life and don't bother with anybody else. But for sadhus, association and satsang is very important. Sadhus cannot live without association of devotees. And they were specifically cursed that you will lose unity amongst you 10. So they were very sad. They actually fell at the feet of Parshuram. And they requested him, please forgive us. Although we are supposed to be sages, but we are like children, We made a mistake. Please forgive us. Tell us something by which we can save ourselves. So Parshuramji said, okay, I appreciate your humility and your repentance. So forthcoming season of all the grains, like rains come and all the things blossom and everything comes up in the field. So in that season, with fresh fruits and fresh flowers and fresh grains, you worship Lord Vishnu for 10 complete days. And when you completely, with great devotion and dedication, perform this celebration and festival of 10 days, you will be relieved of this curse which I have given you. And those 10 days are called as Onam. This Onam festival is those 10 days where the fresh harvest, everything is fresh, fruits, flowers and grains, and you know, no differentiation of people. Whoever comes, you feed them for 10 days. They don't see Muslim, Christian, Hindu, Parsi, Sikh. Whoever is there, whoever walks in, whether rich, poor, beautiful, ugly, or educated, uneducated, they just feed them. That's a beautiful festival. It's the only powerful festival in India which actually shows non-secular or secular, what do you call? No differentiation. No differentiation. With great love, everybody serves everybody else. So, this is the land where we are staying. And there are many, many holy places come in this Parshuram Kshetra. In fact, it is filled with holy places. You go from Mukarna down, you will find umpty number of temples and lot of pastimes of Lord Ganesha, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, Lord Parshuram, Lord Varaha, and Ananta Padmanabh, and Adikeshava, and Jagannathan Swami. You just, Kanyakumari, Lord Shiva again, unlimited pastimes are there. And every nook and corner is a temple, and there's a story. Like, for example, Mangala Gauri in Mangalore, then Durga Parmeshwari in Boppanada, then Mukambika in Kollur, and this just go on like that. Kapu, there is Mariamma, and there are seven sisters in Mangalore, and there is Suratkal, one Devi temple is there, and there is so many temples, temples and temples only. I had come in the school time here one time, after I passed SSC, and I stayed for 7 days, and I visited 28 temples in 7 days. And they said, this is what maximum we could show you in 7 days. If you stay for more days, we'll show you more temples. This is also a place called Santekatte, where we are now. And a sub-village called Kemmannu. And the nearest village is also Kalyanpur, which is my father's hometown. And there also is one temple of Lord Venkatramana. Very beautiful temple. My ancestors used to worship there. So, many people are staying here. Shettis are staying here. The Pujaris and the other Karkeras, and they are staying here. Then our caste, Gaur Saraswat Brahmins, they stay here. So, and this place is famous for people who are expert in worshipping the Lord. So, this is the story of how this place came into existence. This is also known as Varaha Kshetra. You know the story that when Hiranyaksha was killed by Varahadev. Before he killed Hiranyaksha, Varahadev actually went under the Garbhodaka ocean, because Hiranyaksha was so big a demon and powerful personality that he had kicked the earth and threw her off the orbit into the ocean, at the bottom of the ocean. So befitting the work that was required to be done, Lord took a form of a boar, we can call in local language pig. And he went under the ocean first, and on his two tusks, he lifted the earth. And he came from the bottom of the ocean, on the surface, went in the sky, put the earth in the orbit, wherever the earth was supposed to be. So where the two tusks were touching the earth, somewhere it must have been touching, no? Resting on the tusk of the Varaha, those two grooves are in this area, near Kollur. It's called Varaha One. In those, you will find two large, huge grooves on earth, where Varahadev had lifted earth. There is also a place called Kollur, where Tunga and Bhadra, two rivers come down from that Kollur mountain. And Mukambika Devi is also residing over there. Varahadev, finally, before disappearing, took a form of a stone and resided on the Kollur mountain. And he would shed tears of ecstasy. And from his tears of ecstasy, a river came out called the Netravati River. We have a train called Netravati Express. That Netravati is the river, very holy river of this place, which is made of the tears of Varahadev. Like that, there are unlimited. For example, there is one, we will go on third day, that is on Sunday, called Mulki. It's called as Sri Mulika Kshetra. Or Valalanka, or Pratilanka, or Antarlanka, Inner Lanka. It is established on the banks of the holy river called Shambhavi river. Very, very holy river. We'll describe the whole story to you that time. So like that, each and every river and place has got lot of history. It's a very rich history where we understand the importance of this place. So, now we will go to the story of Udupi. The word Udupi made of two words, Udu and Pa. Udu means, yeah, please ask.
You were mentioning that in this area there are a lot of temples.
Yeah.
These are very old
temples. All ancient temples.
Very ancient.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a Varaha one. That is near Kollura. Kollur is about 75 kilometers from here. It's a mountainous area. And ISKCON has a very beautiful farm there of 100 acres. Natural living. And two rivers come out from that place, Tunga and Bhadra. And they come together and call Tunga Bhadra. Very holy river. And one side, Netravati comes down. Yeah. So now we come to Udupi. And Udu and Pa. Udu means stars and Pa means king. So Udupi means actually moon, the king of stars. And why this is called as Udupi? Because at one time, you know, in childhood we used to hear the story, Sarin Puranas, that there was a, again, when Brahmaji appeared and Brahmaji was explained by Krishna his duty of creation. So he created many other personalities. They were called as Prajapatis. Prajapatis means who are meant to create praja, meant to create progeny. The word progeny also has come from word praja only. Okay, and these rishis were empowered, prajapatis, and they were empowered to create species of life. Like Kashyapa was the original prajapati. Daksha was another prajapati. And the saptarishis were also prajapatis. So Daksha was one of the powerful prajapatis, son of Lord Brahma. And one time he had his assembly, and in that all demigods had come. So in that assembly, moon, Chandra Devata, made an apparat to Daksha. Misbehaved. So Daksha was very powerful. Daksha cursed moon to get diseased. And due to that disease, moon god got tuberculosis. It is called as Raja Yakshma. Raja Yakshma is Sanskrit word for tuberculosis. So moon god got tuberculosis and he came to this area of Udupi and he performed tapasya for Lord Shiva to help him and to cure him. So after a long time of austerity, Lord Shiva got pleased and Lord Shiva personally came and nurtured moon god and cured him of his tuberculosis. That is why this place also is a place of tapasya, place of repentance, because moon god performed tapasya in mood of repentance. He was feeling sorry that he misbehaved in such an important assembly and actually insulted and performed aparad towards such a great personality called Daksha Prajapati. This Daksha Prajapati is the father of Sati, you know, who in next life became Parvati. And as Sati, she couldn't tolerate insult made by Daksha towards Lord Shiva. So she burnt herself by chanting mantras and said that I will not like to live in the body which is given by this father of mine who is insulting my husband, Lord Shiva, who is the purest of all pure. So she chanted mantra and she burnt herself and she died. And next lifetime she took birth as daughter of Himalaya. That's why she is called as Himangi or daughter of Parvata, so Parvati. And again she performed tapasya and pleased Lord Shiva and got married with him. This is Lord Daksha. So then Chandra was relieved in this place, yeah, Udupi. That's why this place is called Udupi. And that Lord Shiva who actually helped moon god to get cured is called Chandra Maulishwara. Chandra Maulishwara, whose temple is there, who Lord moon god got it made for Lord Shiva in honor of his gratitude. And in the mood of repentance that he had performed tapasya, he established Chandramoleshwara. That is why it is said when we go to Udupi, first we should visit Chandramoleshwara. Well, he is the first temple. Okay? The next temple is Ananteshwara. The story of Ananteshwara is very interesting. Shall we take a break now? Yeah, we'll take a 2-3 minutes break and come back again. Hare Krishna.